Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And we're coming to you live from the Quicken Loans Studios, National Mortgage Lender Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. It's the Ken Carmen Show on CBS Sports Radio. Before we get to Michael Lee, I'm going to get to Michael Lee here in a moment. There's a lot more people listening than I thought there would be because I keep getting asked, Ken, are you going to talk about Zach Smith? Are you going to talk about Zach Smith? I will. There's just not much I really want to say about it. One, I can't agree with the guy that's libelous. Now, if anybody's just tuning in, Zach Smith has unleashed a series of tweets, the former Ohio State assistant coach, who was let go of earlier this year. He's let go of a series of tweets. And it's all basically about Tom Herman. And it alleges that Tom Herman ran around with his wife, went to Asian massage parlors. It's just one after another. There's nothing funny about it. I like talking about things that are funny, even sometimes salacious stuff. I'm not going to lie. This is ugly stuff. Second of all, you can't agree with any of this stuff because it's absolutely libelous. This is obviously a guy. Now, I would say in his own eyes, this is a guy who has nothing to lose. I would still say, and I'll get to Michael Lee here in a moment, I would say that you would have nothing to lose in the court of public opinion. I think you have a lot to lose with the respect of your own children. And I mean that sincerely. Now, if Tom Herman ran around on his wife and did these type of things, that's something that Tom Herman has to answer to his wife and his family. But you are the grandson of who was a great coach and a well-respected, admired person, and this is the apple falling far from the tree. 855-212-4CBS. Jimmy Butler just got traded to Philadelphia. I got Toronto Raptors fans upset about it because I said, man, this might put them over the top, at least to get to the NBA Finals to give the Warriors some sort of competition. We'll see what Michael Lee thinks. He joins us from The Athletic, at Mr. Michael Lee on Twitter. Michael, hello, friend.
Hey, what's going on?
Oh, nothing much. Is this enough to put the 76ers into the NBA Finals and actually give a series to the Golden State Warriors?
Not yet. I still think that they have some work they need to do. They still need to add more shooting. Mm-hmm. That's been a glaring issue for them all season. This doesn't address that, but it does solve one issue. Whenever their offense, you know, gets shut down, and it's a lot of motion, a lot of screening. They didn't have anybody that could create his own shot off the dribble. You know, Ben Simmons, as great as he is, in terms of setting up guys to get into the basket, he can't shoot. And that was something that teams just basically put them in a bind whenever that happened. And when late-game situations came about, they just basically were hoping that Joel Embiid would get hurt. Would get fouled. Because he was not hurt. Would get fouled and get to the free throw line. But now with Jimmy Butler, they have a guy who can close. They have a guy who can create his own shot, who can shoot the three ball, who can attack the basket.
Yeah.
They have a lot that they have to work out. I don't think it's, quick, easy solution. I don't know if he's a good fit right now as, say, Kawhi was in Toronto or, say, Kevin Durant was when he went to Golden State. I think there's going to be an adjustment period because there's a lot of personality and playing style that's going to have to come together. So right now I don't see it as a home run, but I do see it as something that puts him at least on third base.
So we're almost a month into the season. Who do you have coming out of the East to go to the NBA Finals then?
Right now I'm looking at Toronto. I just feel like the move they did, Kawhi looks healthy. Kawhi looks like he's on track. And you look at a team last year that won 59 games. They replaced DeMar DeRozan with a better player, a guy who can do it on both ends. That's a scary squad. And not only did they add Kawhi Leonard, they added Danny Green, another guy who's a great, one of the best 3-and-D guys in the league. So if you add that a defensive element to a team that was already elite, except when they faced LeBron James, you have a really scary bunch. And I'm starting to become a believer in the Toronto Raptors. Before the season started, I would have been all in on Boston. But I just think that what the Sixers did is that they've made it a very interesting 14 race because we can't overlook what the Milwaukee Bucks are doing right now either.
What has gotten Boston off to kind of, you know, 7-5? I know they're losing right now as I talk to you right now. So say they finish off 7-6. And Toronto, or I should say Portland's been off to a good start. So it's nothing to be going crazy at, and they're on an early West Coast swing. But what's kind of the reason they've started off a little bit slower? Are they still gelling because they never really had a good shot with Gordon Hayward last year?
Well, yeah. I mean, one, Gordon Hayward's still trying to find his rhythm. He missed an entire year of basketball. That's not something you can just come back from and be, you know, an all-star player right away. So he's got to figure out what he can do and have confidence in that and go out there and perform at that level. And also, you got guys really trying to figure out how they're going to share the ball. And they said all the right things, and I think that they're trying hard to make sure that no one's being too selfish out there. But it's difficult when everybody feels like they should have opportunities to take the ball one-on-one and do their thing. Just somebody's going to have to sacrifice for the good of the group and really settle into that facilitator role because their offense has been disappointing considering all the talent and all the weapons. But I think one of the things they're lacking is the playmakers who can make easier shots for guys, because I think guys like Jason Tatum and Kyrie Irving, as exceptional they are in terms of one-on-one scoring, they shouldn't have to work as hard as they do to get buckets. And I think that's an adjustment they'll be able to work out as time goes on. But right now, it's pretty hard when you have that much talent and everybody feels like it on certain nights they should be the man. But I think that Brad Stevens will figure out a way. But the growing pains, to me, were to be expected considering that Gordon Hayward was coming back from injury, and a lot of guys who had enhanced roles in the playoffs were going to expect something close to that when the season started.
Michael Lee joining us on the show. Where's the line? Like, Jimmy Butler, depending on what you hear and what you really believe, pulls some pretty unprofessional stuff, gets himself out of Minnesota finally. And part of me wants to be upset about that, and I'm thinking, you're the one who has the power. You're the one with the skill. You're taking advantage of the skill that you have. You're making, in some cases, yeah, maybe he's making a bit of an ass out of himself. You could write me on that if you want to, Michael.
No, he did.
Yeah, well, so then I ask, where's really the line? Where's the comeuppance? Because he's going to get what he wants. He's going to play in the city. He's going to get the money. He's going to be able to play on a really good basketball team. And I'm thinking, okay, in a lot of ways, I'd probably do the exact same thing if I really felt I had to.
I don't see the downside to what he did other than his reputation.
And he'll get that back. If they win, and he's a part of that, he'll get that back.
Exactly. I didn't like how he went about doing it, and also to kind of publicly shame, you know, Andrew Wiggins and Carl Anthony Towns. You know, I just didn't like how he went about going about it. But again, you know, we've seen it before. You know, if you want to work, if you want to get out of somewhere, you got to make it untenable. You got to make it ugly. That way, it's sort of like being in a relationship with somebody. Like, he made it clear to them he didn't want to be in a relationship. You know, you can still be a nice guy, but at some point you've got to, you know, let that person know very clearly that you don't want to be in a relationship with them anymore. And that's kind of what he did. I think his hand in some ways was forced, because I think he tried to do it quietly in the offseason and say, hey, you know, get me out of here. I want to move on. But Tibbs was stubborn. Tibbs was the one that basically thought he could convince him that you know, this could work out. And so he showed his rear end, but in some ways his hand was forced. And I kind of look at Tibbs as sort of the blame for this, because obviously he invested a lot in proving, you know, in making this trade and trying to prove that Jimmy was the right player to give up what they gave up. They gave up a whole lot for him. So to surrender that, I think, was tough. But they had offers. They had opportunities to make this trade weeks ago. They were stubborn. And I think at some point, like I said, you got to make it clear that you want out. And, you know, sometimes you got to, as I remember Kobe Bryant told me when he demanded his trade, sometimes you got to shake the apple cart a little bit to get what you want. And that's basically what happened.
Basically, it's how to lose a team in a couple of months, not a guy in 10 days. But I totally agree with what you're saying. What about Melo? What's the next step for him?
I don't know. You know, it's sort of disappointing that he wasn't able to seem to find a role that fit. I don't know what team he actually works out with. Honestly, this is what I think he should do. Maybe he just waits out, you know, whatever the Lakers do, whenever they have to make a trade for a player to, you know, to elevate them, you know, among the elite, if they got to sacrifice some of their talented guys. Maybe he sits around and just waits for a roster spot to clear up, and he gets to play in L.A. with LeBron. You know, I mean, he's a guy that loves playing in the big city situation. You know, he has a home in L.A. I think he'd love it out there. So I think that probably makes the most sense to me, is that after, you know, things kind of shake out in Los Angeles, maybe he just finds a home playing with another one of his banana boat buddies.
Michael Lee with us on the show from The Athletic. Winter Laker fans, speaking of them, Winter Laker fans going to finally embrace LeBron James?
I think most already have. But again, when it comes to the Lakers, all they care about is those banners that hang up there. And, you know, LeBron, I think he'll be respected, but he'll never be loved there until he delivers in
okay.
that area.
Let me pause on that for a second. When's the last time you were in L.A.?
Last time I was in L.A., was All-Star, maybe? I don't know.
Okay.
I was there All-Star weekend.
So you still have a much more intimate knowledge of Laker fan than I would, because the only Laker fans I see are the ones on Twitter, and the Laker fans I see on Twitter are the ones that are still going, man, Kobe, it's Kobe. And so, okay, most are already embracing LeBron and the new look Lakers and the long-term build of what they're doing?
I would think so. I mean, Twitter is only a small window into what people think. You know, I think we give a lot more credit to Twitter than probably necessary. But, you know, people
True.
Still go to the games. They cheer for him. In L.A., his band is a face is all over the place. His jersey's selling like hotcakes out there. So I think that most of the fans do like Will LeBron, the fact that he decided to come there and try to restore that legacy. But again, he has to finish the task. And they said they respect him, they appreciate him, but they won't truly love him until he delivers. And that's going to be a challenge, because the Warriors are still in their division.
Michael Lee joining us on the show. Is there anybody at all or any way that a candle can be held to the Golden State Warriors at all?
Yeah, injuries are definitely something. You know, Milwaukee, I think, are one of those teams that have areas that they can make it difficult, because they have size and they have a dynamic, you know, player who can, you know, get hot and change things in Giannis. So I just feel like they're probably a threat. Toronto could be a threat too, just because they have so much depth. You know, the reason I like Toronto is not just the additions of Kawhi and Derek Green, but they just have so much depth. They can play 10 guys and not really miss a beat. And I think that's what you kind of have to beat the Warriors with. You can't just, you know, just hope you have like three good players and then just fill the roster with anything else. You got to have really top line talent all the way through. So I think that if injuries are something you got to take into consideration, but I think if everybody's healthy and they get DeMarcus Cousins back, I don't see them losing. But the way to beat them basically is just sort of be physical, pound them inside, and sort of beat them with size. And there are only a few teams in the league that can do that. Or you need to have a considerable depth. And you look at Toronto, they have a lot of depth. Boston has depth if they figure it out. So I think really the only challengers to me, honestly, they're coming from the Eastern Conference. I don't see a team out West that really is a threat.
Oh. How many times have you already been asked about Kevin Durant's future?
Not too often, but what
really?
Do you want to know?
Okay, well, where's he going to be next year?
I don't think he knows. I think that there will be opportunities for him to, you know, explore. I think New York Knicks, obviously, are a team that is constantly brought up as an option. But the one difference, you know, I think that people look at through him a LeBron prism and say, well, look what LeBron did. Well, Kevin Durant's going to do the same thing. Well, LeBron's never been in a situation that Kevin Durant's in right now, and that is he is on the best team, and that there is no better situation for him. The only reason he would leave, like I said, I wrote it earlier, like, you know, he wouldn't leave for greener pastures. He would just leave for a lawn that needs him to water it. And so that's kind of the way he has to view this, is that I'm going to have to be the savior somewhere. And that may sound cool, you know, to go somewhere and be a savior, and it may be an interesting challenge. But if you have a chance to be a dynasty, you have a chance to maybe win 5 championships and go down as one of the all-time greats. I think that that's something that could be pretty compelling too. So I don't think he knows exactly what he wants to do, but I know that once July 1st hits, he will have plenty of options.
Michael, I thank you so much for the time. Know you're busy, man. Love to run you down again soon, my friend. All the best.
Anytime, thanks.
Michael Lee, The Athletic. Find him on Twitter at Mr. Michael Lee. 855-212-4CBS. One quick thing on Kevin Durant when we come back. And also, three up, three down. You got Ken Carmen on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
This is the Ken Carmen Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Three up, three down, coming up in just a moment, I promise. 855-212-4227. We also have Howard Balzer joining us from the Sports Exchange coming up at 11:35, 11:40 p.m. Eastern. I just talked to Michael Lee from The Athletic about Kevin Durant and his future. He mentioned something that Kevin Durant and LeBron James make a ton of sense. If Kevin Durant wants his self-respect, you stay far away from L.A. Maybe the Clippers, if you want to. You just stay far away from the Lakers. If Kevin Durant wants his self-respect, you stay far away from LeBron James. If you want to be a part of a dynasty, that's fine. If you never, ever, 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 if you make a solemn promise to yourself that you will not, at least for 20 years, give yourself a good 20 years until you're comfortable enough in your own skin, and I don't know if you'll even get there, but let's start with 20 years and then we'll reevaluate. Until you're comfortable enough in your own skin to not go on Twitter, to stay off of Instagram or any social media platform and not read what people say about you. Thinnest skin superstar you're going to find. If you were comfortable in your own skin, if you didn't give a damn what anybody thought, you wouldn't be tweeting under assumed names. You wouldn't be with burner accounts. You wouldn't be out there taking swings at people, taking it and let them get under your skin the way that you do. If you can handle that, go right on to L.A. and play with LeBron. You could be a part of a dynasty. Michael Lee is I love Michael. He's a big dreamer. I think he's dreaming a little bit too high and heavy about this. If Kevin Durant wants his respect, personal respect, to be the leader, one of the creme de la creme, the very, very best. There's only one championship that goes around just once. I got all that. But man, you go to L.A., you can be a part of the dynasty. You won't play with LeBron. You'll play for him. You won't be the guy who gets the torch from him. To some NBA guys, to Michael Lee, you will. To a regular NBA fan, to a guy in Oklahoma City's a bad example. To a guy in Detroit, Michigan, or New York City, or really anywhere else that they are a regular big NBA fan, yeah, there'll be writers, man. They'll love you. They'll love what you did with LeBron, and they'll love it that you brought an end to the Warriors, maybe, that you brought an end to the Warriors dynasty, that you started something on your own with LeBron, but you'll always play for him. You'll never play with him. There's only been one guy who's ever played with him. That's Dwayne Wade. So there would be some people who said, oh, yeah, they passed the torch. He passed the torch. Well, physically, yeah, he's going to have to at some point. But you'll always be playing for him. That's why I kind of always wanted Kobe Bryant to come back when he said, well, if they start off 0-5, maybe I'd come back. And I dare to let myself dream about that just because it would be nice. And LeBron is the greatest of the generation, make no mistake. And I will admit, I'm a fan. But it'd be nice for him to play for somebody else just once, just to see what it's like. Because if Kobe came back to the Lakers, that's Kobe's team. That's not LeBron's. I don't care with bad ankles and torn ACLs and torn shoulders and whatever else whatever other ailment you can give Kobe Bryant. That would be Kobe's team. 855-212-4CBS. If Kevin Durant is able to stay, if he can make a solemn promise to himself and the Lord above that he will not go on any social media, that he will keep his fingers in his ears and his eyes closed and not pay attention to anything like guys like me say or any fans, go ahead and go to the Lakers. But he can't do it, and you know he can't do it, so why would you even bother? Let's get to three up, three down.
Who's trending up? Who's sinking down? It's time to find out on Three Up, Three Down with Ken Carmen here on CBS Sports Radio. Who's up?
Jimmy Butler. Yes, I know. I just said what I said and talked to everything that went on with Michael Lee about Jimmy Butler, and yeah, he made an ass out of himself. The difference between him and I know what I also said about Le'Veon Bell at the beginning of the show. The difference between him and Le'Veon Bell, talking about Jimmy Butler, is that Jimmy Butler has the power to do so. Le'Veon Bell doesn't. Le'Veon Bell does not have that power. He's not a quarterback. He's not even a left tackle. He's not even a cornerback. You have a finite amount of snaps. You've left $14.5 million on the table. You lost this bet. You lost it on yourself. Jimmy Butler can call out teammates. Jimmy Butler can call out coaches. Jimmy Butler can cuss people out in practice. Jimmy Butler can act like a total ass and still get traded and get the money and play in the city he wants and gets what he wants because he has the power. He has the power to do so. He's part of the 1% in the NBA. There's other guys who certainly can't do that. Gorgui Jang couldn't do that. He can do that. Le'Veon Bell, as good as Le'Veon Bell is, he ain't that. And Jimmy Butler, as much as I can say that that's wrong and this isn't team basketball, no, this is business, and Jimmy Butler took advantage of the business. And so in the end, I might moan and be upset, even though that if they win something someday, he'll totally rehab his image and we'll overlook something like that. People in Minnesota won't, but we'll overlook something like that. He wins in the end. Next.
Who's down?
Bobby Petrino. Let's see. I want to bring this out for you, Shep. This will just put a bow on everything. Since the win against Western Kentucky, who I believe is a two-win team, maybe a one-win team this year, back on September 15th, they got beat by 24 against Virginia. They kept it close against Florida State. Not necessarily that Florida State's great. They got blown out by Georgia Tech. They got beat by 18 at Boston College. They were blown out by Wake Forest, blown out by Clemson, and I mean blown out by Clemson, and then blown out by Syracuse. And it's exactly what Dennis Dodd said just about an hour ago. He doesn't seem interested. The players don't seem interested. They had to move on, and it couldn't have happened to a better guy, huh? Next.
Who's up?
Got to say, Andrew Whitworth. Lindsay 30 said yesterday, Andrew Whitworth donated this week's, he's going to donate this week's paycheck to families and victims of the shooting at the Borderline Bar and Grill in Thousand Oaks. Whitworth proving again what type of leader he is. She wrote a great story about this. This is a very nice thing by a very good guy. I've had the pleasure of interviewing him a couple of times. He is a preeminent offensive lineman in the league who's played just about every single position across the offensive line. And obviously a really, really, really good person. This is a great thing by him. Next.
Who's down?
Zach Smith. I'm going to get into this a little bit deeper. I think this forces us to ask and to figure out where we draw a line. Because there's going to be guys, bro code, bro, you broke bro code. No, but in our own way, if we're going to do the whole bro code thing, there's a lot of things that we need to draw a line on as men. And that's coming up a little bit later on. Next.
Who's up?
Veterans. Veterans every single day. A thanks to you every single day. And I've said this on Memorial Day. I've said this every single show that I've got to do that we talk about veterans, where I celebrate the lives of those who have been there before us, who had the stones to do what I never had, so I could have grilling, have beers, have fireworks on Veterans Day, on Memorial Day, and on 4th of July, to have the fun that they couldn't, to enjoy the freedom that they gave to us, and then on a day like today, to memorialize them, to also thank the ones that are with us, to thank the ones who have served, to thank the ones who have served and have helped others serve and help others transition. Today is a day, and I this is the one of the few positives that come out of something that happened as tragic as 9/11 17 years ago. Is that now you start to really focus on what's what with people. I think before that, and maybe it's because I was young, maybe I was a little bit naive, I don't think we saw that as a country, even with some of the strife, even with some of the problems that we might have politically, society, whatever it might be, we take these days, we make them special, and we realize that there are things that are so much more important than our own BS. And so one of these days, these are tremendously appreciative days where we thank each other, we remember those who have served, we thank those who help, and we bond with one another. It's a beautiful, beautiful day in America, and I sincerely thank each and every one of you. That is 3 Up, 3 Down. Coming up next, Howard Baltzer is going to join us. Philadelphia, are they hungover? And why is everybody blaming Mike McCarthy in Green Bay, even though they got themselves a big win today? It's Ken Carmen on CBS Sports Radio.
This is the Ken Carmen Show on CBS Sports Radio.
CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, 855-212-4227. brought to you by Geico. There's a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you can save 15% or more on car insurance. I'll do it at midnight Eastern. You've asked, I'll do it. We'll talk Zach Smith. Also, a fool and his guaranteed money are soon parted. A man who's no fool about the NFL, who knows basically everything there is to know about the great game of football, Howard Bolzer. He joins us right now on the hotline from the Sports Exchange at HBolzer721 on Twitter. Howard, how you doing?
Ken, I'm doing great, man. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Philly isn't. I often say, you know, people go, oh, winning a championship's hard. Well, obviously, repeating it, I think, is way harder because you got to find a way to put the confetti back in the cannon, and that's what the Eagles are figuring out right now. Is it just a hangover, or what's the real problem with Philly?
Well, there's never one reason for anything, whether you win or lose, and certainly that could be, certainly it's a factor when you have, you know, your season went longer than everybody else, and then you have all the accolades, everybody's talking about it, and you have all the different things, but no team is the same from 1 year to the next in this league anymore, and that's the way it's been, obviously, for a while. And when you get on a roll like they did last year, everything seems to go right and go well. Sometimes it starts flipping the other way, and you start having some key injuries. They fought through some injuries last year, but you know, this year their secondary is a shell of what it was. They're not getting pass rush that they were getting last year a lot. You know, offensively, they're struggling running the football. They've had some injuries on their offensive line with Lane Johnson. That was a big part of having him out there all 16 games of the regular season last year. So you put it all together, and you come up a little bit short. And you lose some close games. You lose some tough ones. And here they are in the muddle of the NFL, which is where a lot of teams are right now. And it's interesting. I heard someone talking about the Chargers, as I digress for a moment, and the point was made, well, yeah, but they really haven't beaten anybody. They've beaten this team, and they're not that good, and they haven't beaten, you know, too many good teams. And I'm thinking to myself, well, who are the good teams? I mean, you know, everybody has good records. You look at their team, and you say, well, boy, who have they beaten? Because there's not that many good teams with really good records. And then even the ones that do, we see New England get knocked off the way they did against Tennessee. It's just a crazy league, and it is year after year. It's tough. It's tough to win games in this league, and I think we see it all the time, week after week.
All right, brother, you digress, so I'm going to digress as well. For that principle, have I been a little bit too hard on Chicago then? Because last week I go, you know, I just can't put them with the real ones, where four of their five wins were against some teams that, again, I just thought were garbage.
No, you know, and I think they have to prove themselves in the nitty-gritty when it comes down the stretch. And, you know, they've got Minnesota on Sunday Night Football next week, so we'll find out some more about them. You know, I'm not going to put them in the upper echelon yet, even though their record is pretty good. But they've got a lot of ingredients to be a pretty good team because, you know, the defense was good last year. That was a defense that no one noticed because the overall team wasn't very good. But they had a pretty good defense last year. Now, of course, they've added Khalil Mack to that. And, you know, the offense is developing some weapons at receiver. You know, Mitchell Trubisky is going to have ups and downs, just like any young quarterback does. But he shows a lot of good things. But once again, look at that division. I mean, what is there there? I mean, you know, is Green Bay going to make a second half of the season run? Perhaps they will. Looks like maybe they've discovered a running game with Aaron Jones. The Vikings are still, you know, still a darn good team, even though they've had some injuries. So that's just, you know, like you said, that's just the way this league is. It's just a very competitive league. And if you, like I said earlier, if you can get on that roll and you have confidence in yourself and you don't beat yourself and you make some plays, whether it's with turnovers or whatever, to turn games, there's a lot of coaches will always tell you, Ken, they say, in most any game, there's three or four plays that really, truly make a difference in a game. And if you can be that team that does that, then you're going to have a great record. I mean, look at the Rams. I mean, they're widely hailed as certainly one of the high echelon teams in the league. You know, four of their games, they've won by a total of 12 points.
Yeah.
And you know, they battled Seattle twice. They won a close one over Denver, won a close one over Green Bay. You know, all of a sudden, if they lose two of those, all of a sudden they're 7-3 instead of 9-1. Say, yeah, they're pretty good, but they're not great. So that's the fine line that exists in this league.
Are the Saints better than they are?
I don't know. I mean, they might be.
I know they won, but I know they won the head-to-head matchup. But I mean, overall, you know, you lose games in the NFL, what the hell, right?
No, that well, exactly. And I think those two teams are very close. I really do. And when you look at all that they have, obviously the Saints have the more experienced quarterback in Drew Brees. But both have really good running games. I don't know that Alvin Kamara, Mark Ingram aren't as good as Todd Gurley individually, but together that's a heck of a a tandem. And both teams are struggling a little bit with defense. They have good defensive players, but I think in this league everybody struggles on defense now because all the rules favor the offensive players. And so what it will probably come down to is who played, you know, this is like last week's game. Who has the ball last when the Saints played the Rams? And that was home, and they won that one. So I think if those teams played 10 times, it probably would be split 5-5.
Howard Balzer joining us on the show. Is Jason Garrett going to save his job?
I think Jerry Jones, it's not Jason Garrett's fault. And, I mean, there's all the debate about the Cowboys. And we can't put too much in this victory tonight. It was a nice win for them, obviously. And they did some good things against, again, as I was saying, a team that isn't quite what it was last year. But that offensive line of the Cowboys is the biggest issue with that team right now. But no one usually looks at that. When they analyze teams, when an offense struggles, they look at the quarterback or they look at the coach, you know, or they look at the offensive coordinator. And the commentators say, oh, the Cowboys have to get the ball down the field. Well, they haven't had a guy to get the ball down the field, too. You just can't throw it willy-nilly in that. But I think they've upgraded with Amari Cooper. He's not the greatest, but he's certainly an improvement over what they had, and that helps that offense. But overall, the line just isn't as good as it was 2 years ago. And that's their biggest problem now with having consistency on offense and being able to make those plays on third down or make the plays in the red zone to win games. They made them tonight, but they've got to prove that they can do it week after week. And I'm not convinced with that line that they can do it consistently. And so I don't blame the coaches. It's just personnel.
Did Le'Veon Bell still do what was best for business?
Well, yeah, for business he did. And that's all this has been about since day one, which is unfortunate because if every player entering his last year of his contract, did that and just decided, oh, I'm not going to show up. Now his situation is different because he was never really signed.
Mm-hmm.
But if more players did that and say, okay, I'm not showing up, you know, for this reason or that reason, I want to protect myself. There'd be mutiny in the NFL. There wouldn't be enough players to play. So I think it's unfortunate when a guy does what he's obviously doing. And he's made no bones about what he's doing. I just don't know. Here's the thing, Ken. I don't know how you make this 15. If he doesn't play the whole season, I don't know how you make this $14.5 million back.
There it is.
I know some have said, well, if he gets, $18 million, a year and $30 million guaranteed, he'll make it back because he won't have the wear and tear on his body. Well, he's still a year older. There's only so many years he has left. And I just don't see how this, in the long run, truly benefited him, except to make sure that he becomes a free agent and protects himself so he can get the best contract possible.
Well,
I'm going to be very intrigued to see what he actually gets in the open market because I just don't think it's going to be as much as a lot of people think.
Can he guarantee? That's my point. Can he guarantee that he's going to get $18 million a year, to make that up, obviously, but is he going to get the $18 million a year? And how can he do that without proving that he can play is one thing, but without playing? I don't know how you're going to just get that after you've sat out a year. You might get it down the line, but I still think you're going to have to play for somebody.
Well, you know, I think there's usually one or two teams that'll do something crazy. But even if he gets 18 a year, it's not going to be for more than 2 or 3 years because of his age.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one reality. So even if he gets 18 million, that's a little more than 3 million than he was supposed to make this year. So even if he makes that more, how many years of 3 million more does he have to make up for the 14 and a half he lost?
Yeah.
4 or 5 years, perhaps. And I don't believe for a second that he's going to get that, for 4 or 5. Now, maybe 4 or 5 years, the team can get out of the deal. If it's $30 million guaranteed, That's close to what he made if he would have made this year. That's what, if you add in last year's tender plus this year's, I think it comes out to about 27 or $28 million. So that's not that far from $30 million guaranteed. So I just don't get this one. But he's decided to do what he's going to do. And, we'll see how it works out for him in the long run.
The great Howard Balzer joining us from the Sports Exchange. How do I ask you this without getting you upset? You've been covering the NFL for a long time. I am entertained. I demand to be entertained by a sport, by a professional sport, that's still predicated on entertainment, based on dollars. I know that there has to be a flag for Tyreek Hill. I know that there has to be a flag for Michael Thomas. I thought we would overreact, and we did, as radio show host last week, to Michael Thomas. Now, this week, it's probably going to be a little different with Tyreek Hill since we've already seen it, but tell me why I'm a bad fan for being entertained and loving what Tyreek Hill did. Go ahead. Hammer me with it. Go ahead, Howard.
Well, first, I hate to admit this, but with everything I was watching today and going jumping here and jumping there, I saw Michael Thomas, but I did not see what Tyreek Hill did.
Oh, it's a sight, man. It is a sight. Okay, well, then we'll go back to Michael Thomas, because Michael Thomas is one thing, and I still thought, I was like, hey, it's a throwback. Now, I talked to Andrew Hawkins in a pregame of the NFL team I do in my city, and Andrew Hawkins, the former NFL wide receiver, says, well, as a guy who likes it for the entertainment, I liked it, but as a guy who was a captain, to know that he knew he was going to go in and get the team flagged if he was to score a touchdown, gotta admit, I didn't like that. I went, you got a point there, Andrew. Gotta admit. Go ahead.
No, well, that's exactly it. We can rail about the rules all we want, and they put in those rules mainly, and I don't think it's the no fun league or any of that, because they've certainly loosened the restrictions on what players can do and all those things, but they just don't want it to turn into a circus with every guy thinking, oh, what am I going to do now? What am I going to do with the ball? Or what prop am I going to have out there that's going to call attention to me? And they just don't want it getting carried away, getting guys carried away with it. So they just say, blanket, can't use the ball as a prop, can't have these other props or whatever it might be. And when you go to that extent, like Michael Thomas, have a cell phone in both end zones for the touchdown that you're going to score, and then affect your team negatively and perhaps make a difference in a game because your team is kicking off from the 20-yard line instead of the 35, that's just selfish.
I see it. I know.
So we can argue whether the rule should be there or not, but the fact is the rule is there.
And Howard Balzer,
the rule's there, you shouldn't break it.
Howard, we thank you. We love you. We'll do it again soon. Coming up next, more Week 10 and Zach Smith makes you draw the line somewhere.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.